You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open 855-752-4842. Just working hard on the board and on the lines. It's a talk, it's a text. I see you out there, Cam. I don't know what you're into, but wow. We appreciate all of you tuning in and hanging out with this fine show. As mentioned in the last hour, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party, state of Wisconsin, going to join me at the bottom of the hour at 5:30. Folks, there's only 6 weeks left until the election. Can you believe that? 6 weeks from today.
I'm not sure if the pit that I'm feeling in my stomach is just like all of that anxiety, or if there's a little bit of relief of like, oh, we can kind of almost see the finish line.
But then what? You know, it's like so hopefully we win, and then like, how does Megan react? Or God forbid, if we lose, you know, how does Megan react? You know,
how long is it going to be to certify the votes?
Right. Oh, we're going to hand count everything in Georgia because that's a great idea. Callers, be patient. We will get to you. Saw this one on the Hill. This is kind of a big deal in my opinion. Chutkan rebuffs Trump's effort to upend January 6th case schedule. I'll read briefly here. Apparently, she rebuffed the request from Trump asking her to append previous set deadlines and bar a lengthy filing from special counsel Jack Smith. Uh-oh. The order comes after Trump lodged multiple complaints about a ruling issued shortly after a September 5th hearing to allow Smith's team to first file a brief laying out how to proceed in the case in the wake of the Supreme Court decision granting former presidents broad immunity. Chutkan chastised Trump's attorneys. It seems to be kind of a continuing story over there. Yeah. For repeatedly asking her to reconsider her schedule and allow them to kick off discussion of the immunity issue several months from now, quote unquote, in unrelated filings. For the second time in a week, defendant urges reconsideration of the current pretrial schedule in a brief intended to respond to a separate issue without actually filing a motion to that effect. The court has already addressed the schedule objections a defendant raised when he was given an opportunity to do so, unquote. Now, in the same order, and this is the key part here, folks, Chutkan grants Smith's request to file a 180-page opening brief on how to address the immunity issue in the case, a request that likewise earned pushback from Trump's team. Now, Trump's attorneys called the brief a 180-page false hit piece and seemed to mock the special counsel's contention that it would be of great assistance to Chutkan. Trump's attorneys quoted, "The requested 180-page brief would be tantamount to a premature and improper special counsel report." Whoa! You know, Trump knows something about special counsel reports.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, what's going to be in this 180-page? Some of the reporting I've seen over the last couple of days, if it does become public, it could be severely redacted. So, I don't know if we're actually going to get a whole lot, and I hope we do. We'll see. It's up to Chutkan as to whether or not to release and to what degree this information. But 180 pages apparently will be allowed from Chutkan, according to TheHill.com. 855-752-4842. Drew from Lake Mills, you're next. Welcome, Drew. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have a question about polling that I'm a little confused about because I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, that they don't really take into consideration like first-time voters or like voters in that 18 to 24 age range when they do the polling. Do you know if that's true or not?
Well, I think it depends on how the poll is being asked, Drew. I mean, if a lot of folks don't, first-time voters may not be registered yet to vote, or they may not be considered as likely to vote. So I think there's going to be a lot of folks that maybe won't hit the description in the polling, and some of those younger folks? I mean, I think that could be an underrepresentation, certainly.
Because, like, I have nieces and nephews who are just 18, a little bit over 18 years old. Yeah. And I know their friends well. And, I mean, none of them are voting for Trump. So I wonder if that age range is, not really taken into consideration, or, like, how that actually worked out. Because I think if the youth come out and vote, man, it's going to be a landslide.
Yeah, true, no doubt about it. Thanks for the call, man. I mean, if the first-time voters, if the young folks step up and are motivated to come out and vote in droves, you're absolutely right. It will be a landslide. It should be a landslide, not just from the youth vote, but from everybody. I mean, yeah. We talk about what's going on here just so day after day and the things that are said day after day, and it seems to me to be degrading.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like Donald Trump or Vance or, you know, call any of the other megas out there, be it this guy Bernie Moreno in Ohio running against Brown, saying that, you know, women over 50 shouldn't be worried about abortion because, you know, it's really not a thing for them because, what, they're too old and they're barren. Let's just say it, Moreno. That's what you think. And some other folks, apparently, what was it? Was it J.D. Vance who was lamenting? If you're no longer able to have children, well, maybe then, you know, you should just be able to help out your grandkids. You know, help your kids out with the grandkids. Because that's their policy decision on bringing the cost of childcare down.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Unpaid labor.
Ask the grandparents to do it for free.
Right.
I mean, that makes
sense. It doesn't matter that they're working full time because the retirement age keeps getting raised.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And maybe you could... You know, maybe you could pay them a couple of bucks. Give them a room in the back, you know. Yeah. I mean, they'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
And maybe they can cook for you, too. You know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, just, you know, do a little dusting, mopping.
It is. And even when I hear Republicans, and I guess in this case specifically Donald Trump, talk about the inflation. And, you know, inflation is a thing. The Fed is a thing. Greedflation is a thing. And certainly when the government, you know, puts money into infrastructure and puts money into stimulus, you know, those things can drive prices up as well. But that's not the only thing. And let's just get to that point. When Donald Trump talks about inflation most recently, and he's talking about women, he talks about groceries. Because I guess only women grocery shop? Doesn't talk about, you know, the price of housing with women. No.
No, that's too much for our little lady brains.
Yeah, right.
We can only handle potatoes and onions, maybe cheese.
Maybe the dairy. Well, the dairy, don't buy the gallons. Those are too heavy.
It's too heavy for my little arms.
Even when they go out there, Donald Trump yesterday trying to relate to women, trying to convince women to come over to a site to talk about being a protector, a man who's been adjudicated as a rapist. I mean, it is beyond the gaslighting, folks. And again, I gotta ask, in what circumstance, in socially or professionally, would you ever allow that language, that mentality to occur around you anywhere? It wouldn't happen for me. It doesn't happen for me. If someone like that says those things, they need to be called out for it. But there's no one calling out Mega on this. I mean, this is Donald Trump going into a diatribe for 90 minutes, bouncing all over the place topically, over and over and over again. As the Washington Post puts it, Trump and PA, digressions, threats, and vows to be protector of women.
No.
He cast himself as a protector of women.
Nope.
Who polls show heavily favor his Democratic rival, declaring, quote, "They will no longer be abandoned, lonely, or scared."
Yeah.
He also suggested that critics of the Supreme Court should be put in jail, compared them to the late college basketball coach Bobby Knight working the referees, reprised baseless suggestions of forthcoming election interference from bad actors, threatening to go after them harder than anyone's gone after them before. For 90 minutes, the Republican presidential nominee swerved repeatedly in remarks used to try to shore up his political weaknesses, lash out at his detractors, and delve into digressions. Mm-hmm, Trump's rally here in a key battleground state offered a glimpse. It's just a glimpse, Jess.
Just a glimpse.
Of the often unfocused pitch he's making to voters with about 6 weeks left until Election Day. one that his most loyal fans revel in, but is a less proven winner with swing voters. And he goes on. I mean, this is some of the bouncing around. The horrible commercials on Fox News. Oprah Winfrey, Vice President Kamala Harris, reminiscing that she used to love me until I decided to run for politics. He claims he gets much bigger crowds than Winston Churchill. He name-checked Shakespeare, brought up Johnny Carson, and insulted Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, called himself cognitively very strong and made false or misleading claims attacking his Democratic rival. That's just three paragraphs into a Washington Post piece. I mean, this is what people are, this is what they want. This is what they're clamoring for. Now, to Drew's point, also The Hill. Harris has a one-point lead over Trump in a North Carolina poll, which is going in the right direction. Harris earns 46% to Trump's 45%, according to the survey. Results fall well within the margin of error, rendering Harris's slim lead statistically insignificant. But there's a lot of that going on right now. And this, again, we look for where we were at 2 months ago when Biden was still in the race. And now we look to where we at now. We got 6 weeks more to go. If those trend lines continue, and I don't see any reason to think that Donald Trump somehow, someway, is all of a sudden going to change his stripes and appeal to women and appeal to the young kids. I just don't see that. So if we can, you know, keep people motivated, keep people on fire. We got 6 weeks to sprint. I'm cautiously optimistic. If you go to realclearpolling.com, they list all the polls: Quinnipiac, CNN, Morning Consult, Reuters, Ipsos, just today. And on the spread, they'll show you Harris plus one, Harris plus five. Now, when Harris is up or when the Democrat is up, it's in blue. When Trump is up, like the multi-candidate Quinnipiac poll, in a national, Trump's up one, 48-47 to Harris, Kennedy, Oliver, one, Stein, and West at one. So Trump's up one there. But here's the point. There's a lot of blue. There's a lot of blue. And depending on, like, North Carolina plus one, Nevada plus one, Michigan, Harris plus three. And presumably most of those are within the margin of error. But here's the point. The trend line, it's going in the right direction. And a week from today, I believe we have the vice presidential debate. Walls and J.D. Vance. And which could make this debate even more interesting is that apparently in the state of Ohio, private citizens have the ability to legally file criminal charges. And today, a Haitian nonprofit called Haitian Bridge Alliance did just that, bringing criminal charges against former President Donald Trump and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. We'll get into that story and take some of your calls as well. 855-752-4842. And stick around. Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party, the great state of Wisconsin, coming up at 5:30. Thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open. Talk or text 855-752-4842. Be patient. We will get to you shortly. Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party, great state of Wisconsin, coming in at 5:30. Damn, time flies when you're having fun. A couple of the texters out there. Dom, that was an informative interview with a Wisconsin Teamster representative. Great questions and response. Thank you, Catherine from Madison. I would just say this as well as was asked before. If you missed any of the program, go to civicmedia.us. Click on the Dom Salvia Shows. You can find all of the podcasts, everything you need to find right there. I threw this out there. I want to get this going before we bring Ben on and get to your calls as well. A Haitian nonprofit called Haitian Bridge Alliance, bringing criminal charges against former President Trump and J.D. Vance. The bench memorandum supporting affidavit filed at the Clark County Municipal Court comes following unfounded claims from both men regarding the large immigrant population in Springfield, Ohio. The attorney for the organization says there is probable cause the two committed crimes, and they want a judge to affirm that, file charges. and issue arrest warrants for both men.
Oh,
here is the charges as laid out by the Chandra Law Firm, who's representing the group. Disrupting public service by A and B, causing widespread bomb and other threats that resulted in massive disruptions to the public services in Ohio. Making false alarms by knowingly causing alarm in the Springfield community by continuing to repeat lies that state and local officials have said were false. Committing telecommunications harassment by spreading claims they knew to be false during the presidential debate, campaign rallies, nationally televised interviews, and social media. Committing aggravated menacing by knowingly making intimidating statements with the intent to abuse, threaten, or harass the recipients, including Trump's threat to deport immigrants who are here legally to Venezuela, a land they have never known. Committing aggravated menacing by knowingly causing others to falsely believe that members of Springfield's Haitian community would cause serious physical harm to the personal property of others in Springfield, and violating the prohibition against complicity by conspiring with one another and spreading vicious lies that cause innocent parties to be parties to their various crimes. We want the judge to issue arrest warrants for Trump and Vance immediately. There is probable cause. The Haitian community is suffering in fear because of Trump and Vance's relentless, irresponsible, false alarms, and public services have been disrupted. Trump and Vance must be held accountable to the rule of law. Anyone else who wreaked havoc in the way they did would have been arrested by now. Stephen Chung, the Trump campaign spokesperson, said, President Trump is rightfully highlighting the failed immigration system that Kamala Harris has overseen, bringing thousands of illegal immigrants pouring into communities like Springfield and many others across the country. President Trump will secure a border, put an end to the chaos that illegal immigration brings to our communities. This is from the Fox8.com. They've reached out to Springfield at Springfield Municipal Court, not here to your back, to see if the judge will issue charges, deny, or request a hearing. The organization stated in the filing they want arrest warrants issued before Trump visits Springfield so that he may be arrested upon arrival for his criminal acts. Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes. Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Consequences for actions.
Seems like they're saying spreading false rumors. They were told that by the local, you know,
spreading
Republican
lies.
Politicians. Wow. Once again, 855-752-4842. Is Donald Trump protecting? He wants to be a protector of women. Is he protecting the Haitian women? The Haitian migrants that are here legally that he threatens to deport to another country, Venezuela, one that they have never known? Is that what protectors do? Come on, ma'am. Joe from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Boy, it'd be great if his pie hole finally does him in. Mr. Protector President is finally done in by his big old pie hole. That would be very choice. I would just add three items when you think about Mr. Trump saying that he will protect women. Remind us, that he was the one who said, when you're famous, you can do anything. Grab them by the pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like a protector to you? Not so much. Does that remember that there were four women who were with the Miss Teen USA in 1997 who said that Mr. Trump would stroll right into the dressing room? They said that they were young women were changing into their bikinis. Some were naked, some were half-dressed, women as young as 15 years old. And he just sauntered right in and then went on Howard Stern and then bragged about how he was able to just go in wherever he wanted to. I would contrast that with Harris, who has gone after rapists, pedophiles, domestic battery situations, and sex trafficking rings in her work as a district attorney in San Francisco and in her work as an attorney general of California. Where's the protection? I would say with Harris, not with the guy who's strolling through the dressing rooms, not with the guy who says, brags about how I can grab him by the pussy. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. And I think this upside down world really needs to be righted sometime soon, real soon. I look forward to hearing what Ben Wickler has to say.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. LA Tom, you'll be next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom. I really would like for people to understand, like, when they'll talk about it on the media and they'll talk all the time about Kamala Harris not having any policies. some of the four major areas that we should be talking about are child care, taxes, and rent or mortgage.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris has a policy for all four of those. Donald Trump has Project 2025 and raised taxes on the billionaire class. That's right. Not raise taxes on the billionaire class.
Lower taxes. Only.
Tax cuts for billionaires and Project 2025. He acts like a complete dictator. He's authoritarianism. All he says is, I can fix it. I can protect you. And like Joe said, no, he's not going to protect you. Kamala Harris was a prosecutor for these same people, as Joe was saying as well. We need Kamala Harris. I mean, if women want the right to choose over the government's right to choose, then they'll choose Kamala Harris. If they want to have freedom in their life, they'll choose Kamala Harris. So for all you people out there that just want to vote for Trump just because you're in a cult, I would just tell you, you're not babies. Grow up and realize that democracy means we the people are the government, not one person being the government and telling the rest of us what to do.
Thank you, Tom. Look forward to our next guest, Ben Wicklund, chair of the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin. He's coming up next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone callers, be patient. We'll get to you 855-752-4842. But right now, super pleased and stoked, jazzed as hell to be joined by Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin. Hey, Ben, welcome back.
Hey, Dom. It's so good to be with you. So fired up. 42 days
I know. 6 weeks, man. 6 weeks of a sprint. I'm super excited. I know you're very busy. I appreciate you taking time out. Ben, how you feeling right now, 6 weeks out?
You know, we're in Wisconsin. This is the land of the nail biter. This presidential election could be on a knife's edge. The polls say, we're maybe up by a point or two. If it's more than 1 point, then that is a Wisconsin landslide. We know what that means. And we also know that the state legislature is totally up for grabs at this moment. And the Republicans, they're spending money hand over fist. The dark money groups are all crowding in to try to hold the Republican Assembly majority for Robin Voss and buy these state Senate seats. But Democrats are fired up. You saw the huge crowd in Madison at the last Friday. Same thing in Fiserv Forum, same thing in Eau Claire. Everywhere that our candidates go, people come in the thousands. And I think that energy is a key thing. If we can channel it into the organizing, the knocking on doors, talking to friends and family, we have a chance to win this thing up and down the ballot in a way that will make history in the state of Wisconsin.
When you say it, Ben, you get me fired up like that. How is the get out the vote happening right now? I understand you have something going on at the Packer game this weekend. What's going on there, Ben?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be at a tailgate with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. It's a youth vote tailgate Vikings-Packers game. It's going to be great. Bart Starr Jr., the son of the late great Bart Starr, is actually going to be there with us and a bunch of other folks. I think that the energy in there is going to be so big. And everywhere across the state, you see the same thing. I mean, this weekend, I saw Vice President Harris at the rally in Madison on Friday. Then on Saturday, I was out in Iowa, Lafayette counties, with Josh Shapiro and Tammy Baldwin campaigning and barnstorming. On Sunday night, we had 350 people at a Democratic Party, another Democratic Party event. I mean, everywhere in Wisconsin, there are thousands of volunteers that are doing the work that reaches out to the voters who don't pay attention to politics, because those are the ones whose votes we need to get. And these one by one, these conversations have an impact, which is not to say it's a sure thing. because the intensity of the Republican attack is massive right now. And I don't want anyone to think for a second that we can take this thing for granted. This is a pitched battle, and it could be won by a couple of votes per precinct across the state.
That's very likely. Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin. The last 6 weeks, the sprint, most folks, a lot of folks are just, in summary, I know it's hard to believe, guys like us, Ben, but are just starting to pay attention, starting to put their ears on and see what's happening. You know, we've been, Kamala Harris has been introducing herself to the voters, as you mentioned. Some of these rallies, man, they've been great. I haven't seen a rally like that since Bernie Sanders years ago came to Madison. Ben, so the excitement is certainly there. Talk about the numbers. My understanding, lots of volunteers, lots of folks out there right now getting involved. How can they do that, and what's the number look like, Ben?
Yeah, well, the number of people who've signed up to volunteer, which does not necessarily mean that they've followed through, is 60,000 since Harris became the nominee in the state of Wisconsin. That by itself is three times Joe Biden's margin of victory from 2020. That is a just mind-blowing number. And our kind of day-to-day work is to follow up with all those people and get them out knocking on doors. And we have thousands of people every week who are going out. They're going to farmers markets right here in Madison. You can see them at the table at the farmers market, but they're also going door knocking in small towns and rural areas and suburbs and in cities alike all over the state. They're doing friend-to-friend organizing where you load the Reach app on your phone that shows you which of your friends misses election sometimes or hasn't registered to vote yet. They're doing virtual phone banks from wherever they might live. All of that, if you want to get involved, go to wisdems.org wisdems.org/volunteer, and you can sign up to join a volunteer shift. Part of what's fun about it is so many interesting people are doing it that you will make new friends that I think you'll have through next year's Supreme Court election and for the rest of your life. So this is the moment to get involved.
It certainly is. Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party state of Wisconsin. The self-governance thing, it never really, really ends, Ben, but this is a very important one. Let's talk about some of the issues. We had a caller recently talking about child care, health care, taxes, housing. How do you think Kamala Harris is lining up her policies and her initiatives against the former president?
You know, that sounded like a Kamala Harris issue webpage, childcare. She wants to bring down the cost of childcare. She's supporting the Care Can't Wait Coalition's kind of vision for the care economy to make sure that people have the support, whether you're providing in-home care to your aging parent or relative, or you need to pay for some childcare so you can go to work, whatever it might be. This is something where we should try to level the playing field a little bit and not just have it be that the rich can afford to work, right? This should be something where everyone can afford to contribute. So investing in childcare, investing in home ownership, helping people be able to buy a house. For Kamala Harris, she has a plan where if you're a first-time home buyer, you get $25,000 of assistance from the government. Now you might say, oh, well, that'll drive up demand for houses. How are we going to meet that? She also has a plan to cut red tape so we can build millions more houses and actually meet the demand. And that sounds like a pretty good idea that I think most people would support. On taxes, Trump, he has a plan to give trillions of dollars to billionaires. And we know who pays the bill because he's got a plan for a Trump tax, in essence, a massive tariff on everything that's imported into this country that results in $4,000 for a middle-class family in additional taxes that they pay through paying for those tariffs. Now,
but that's a beautiful word, Ben. I mean, we heard Trump going off the rails. He loves the word tariff. It's a beautiful word. He's going to solve all our problems with tariff hell. I mean, they're going to make so much money off of tariffs that you don't have to worry about the little bit of money you spend on child care if you believe and you listen to what the former president is saying, Ben.
This is what he's saying. You can ask any economist.
Oh, we're passing through a spot of difficulty there.
Makes anything that involves importing anything that when that price is passed, people actually buy the stuff. Do we want higher prices? If you do, vote for Trump. Higher prices, it's Trump. Cut your costs, it's Kamala. That's tariffs and taxes, it's Trump. Cut your costs, it's Kamala. That's my simple way of remembering it. Harris has shown that she's willing to negotiate down the cost of stuff like prescription drugs by facing down special interests, even though they hire armies of lobbyists. She's shown us that she's willing to do that. She's ready to do it more if she's president. And Trump has shown us that he's willing to give away the store to special interests. He met with a bunch of oil company CEOs and told them that if they gave him $1 billion, he'd give them whatever they wanted. So if you want higher gas prices, then you should vote for Trump. It's pretty simple. I just don't think most of us do want higher gas and grocery prices. We want to bring costs down.
Ben, it's not just, you know, our criticism and observation of how tariffs actually work, but even Republican Senator Mitch McConnell acknowledged that, yeah, what Trump wants to do is going to raise prices.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Republicans used to rail on anyone who proposed any tariffs. And sometimes there's strategic tariffs, tariffs that make sense. If you say there's a tariff on this country because they're doing illegal, you know, practices, they're doing dumping, they're using, you know, whatever, slave labor, then it means that other countries are going to fill the gap and it won't affect the prices in the same way. It'll just punish the people that are breaking the rules. That's very different from what Trump is talking about. Trump is talking, it's sort of like he's talking about building a wall around the entire country so no one can get in or out. And it creates a cost for anyone who's trying to sell something. And the other thing is, when we raise tariffs, other countries respond by raising tariffs on American stuff. It's called the trade war. And we've been there before. And if you want to reduce the amount that we can export, sure. Yeah, you want to start a trade war so other people stop buying American stuff. Trump's idea is like going back 150 years and trying to cut the economy down as though we hadn't had 150 years of growth. It is such bad planning. It's based on either a total misconception about how everything works or just trying to fool everybody. Like, it doesn't. But I think we can see through it. We've experienced high prices. We don't like it. We want them to come back down.
Folks, you're listening to The Dom Salvia Show. That's Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of the great state of Wisconsin, for just a few more minutes. It's not just bringing, you know, our tariff policy back 150 years, Ben. They also apply that to how they view women. You know, with their fervent anti-abortion policies, and Trump yesterday, if you can believe it, declaring himself the protector of women. And you know, women dying have been going up because of the Trump abortion ban. This has been noted across the country. And here's a guy who says that he's the protector. Now, I did see that Harris said today that she'd be down for getting rid of the filibuster in order to pass some abortion protections. Ben, what's your thought on that?
Well, Vice President Harris said it on Wisconsin Public Radio, right here in the Badger State.
Woo-hoo!
She wants to put the filibuster aside, to put Tammy Baldwin's Women's Health Protection Act into law, restore the protections of Roe versus Wade in national law so that the U.S. Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe versus Wade, it will be out the window. It will not have any effect. If we can pass that law, the Trump abortion bans that cover a third of the women in America right now, they will all be lifted. The abortion ban that covered Wisconsin for 451 days, it will not come back. If we can get 50 votes in the Senate, plus Vice President Tim Walz casting the tie-breaking vote, that's the 51st vote. If we can do that, and that means re-electing Tammy Baldwin, then and we win the House majority, and we elect Harris and Walz, we can have national protections for reproductive freedom. So that's on one side. That is the good side in this debate. Now, Trump, he thinks that real freedom is not having to make your own decisions. So he wants to protect women from having to decide for themselves what to do with their bodies. And if that sounds like freedom to you, then I'm not sure you know what freedom really is. Trump is saying that once he's elected, no one will think about abortion. They won't come up again, which is like, if you've ever actually tried to start a family, you know how harrowing the process can be. Yeah. You know that miscarriages are a reality for so many families. And the care, depending on what's happening in your pregnancy for miscarriage, is often an abortion procedure. And women have died from not being able to access that care because of Trump's abortion bans. So this is deadly serious stuff. But Trump's fantasy that somehow everyone wants local politicians and states to be able to ban abortion and tell them what to do with their own bodies, that's what American women were calling out for, it is so ludicrous as to be insulting and infuriating. And the more Trump talks about it, I think the more enraged people are going to get and the more likely they will be to vote to make sure that this guy cannot empower politicians to override people's personal medical decisions.
Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin. Let's talk about the Tammy Baldwin race. I know you've been all over this Hovde taking in $26 million in cash from a questionable Mexican bank. We've talked about it a little bit. Ben, what's your take on this business transaction?
Well, here's the thing about Eric Hovde. Eric Hovde owns a $3.2 billion bank in California, SunWest Bank, where he's been voted the most influential citizen one of the most influential citizens of Orange County, California, 3 years in a row. Now, most American banks have refused to do business with Banco Azteca. 2021, just a few years ago, zero American banks were willing to do business with them. And Reuters has reported about suspicions about links to Mexican drug cartels with this bank. The suspicion, the allegation is the possibility they're involved in money laundering. Barakovsky, maybe he has special information that allows him to think that the risk isn't there, but for whatever reason, multiple airplane flights have brought $26 million in cash from Banco Azteca in Mexico up to Eric Hovde's bank in California. And the thing that strikes me about this is, you know, this is new information for us. Eric Hovde has refused to say what foreign banks and foreign governments and foreign entities have invested in his bank. He has said that he will hold on to his bank ownership if he... whatever their ties might be, can put money into Eric Hovde's personal bank and increase his personal fortune while he's making decisions on international financial policy, banking regulations, decisions about, you know, stuff. Like, what world is this? How is that possibly okay? He's got to come clean about who these foreign investors in his business are, who these foreign clients of his bank are, what money they're putting in there, what safeguards he has in place. And I feel like, you know, we don't know whether we've seen the whole iceberg or just the tip.
Yeah.
So this is my big question for Eric Hovde is, What else is out there? What is the rationale for it? And why is it okay for someone running for U.S. Senate to have this kind of entanglement with all kinds of foreign actors?
Ben Wickler, Chair, Democratic Party, State of Wisconsin. People want to get involved, want to hear more about the Get Out the Vote at the Packers. How do they do so, Ben?
Go to wisdems.org/volunteer. And while you're at it, go to wisdems.org/donate and chip in a few bucks. We will put it to work to make sure we win this state. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Ben Wickler, for your time. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Coming back, your call is 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. Just on the board, on the tunes, on the phones. 855-752-4842. Want to thank Ben Wickler, Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, for coming around. It's a sprint to the finish now. 42 days, 6 weeks from today. And Ben's out in the car on the road. Thank you for putting up. You never know, a little bad cell tower moving here and there. Goodness. But I mean, what, it just never stops. I mean, Ben continues to move and press forward. You know, we've got to know Ben over the years, over these election cycles, and he has been a great asset, to the Democratic Party here in the state of Wisconsin. It's the energy is palpable, and he, what you see is what you get, and he's really a solid human being. We love, Ben Wickler, we love his efforts, and folks, if you want to get involved, as mentioned, go to wisdems.org/volunteer. You can find it. Lots of things going on. Just check out their webpage. Check out the social media feeds. Now is the time, folks. This is it. Now is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the play there. Yeah. A little Def Leppard. Women, right?
That's no,
women.
It's Rocket.
Oh, it's Rocket. Okay, I thought it was woman. Okay.
No.
All right.
My bad. I can do that next time.
Maybe on the way out then. brings me to this point, although I was erroneous. We've been talking about this Bernie Moreno, who's challenging Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, as their senator. And he said some pretty crazy things, calling women crazy. You know, you crazy women with your abortions. I want to kind of retap that. And then Brown did have a response I want to share with you as well. Now, here's what Moreno said, the mega, right? This is the Trumpster. You know, the left has a lot of single-issue voters. Sadly, by the way, there's a lot of suburban women. A lot of suburban, they're like, listen, abortion is it. If I can't have an abortion in this country whenever I want, I will vote for somebody else. Okay, it's a little crazy, by the way, but especially for women that are, like, past 50, I'm thinking to myself, I don't think that's an issue for you. Now, as mentioned, the campaign was saying that he was joking. clearly making a tongue-in-cheek joke about how Brown and members of the left-wing media like to pretend it's the only issue that matters to women is abortion, and women voters care just as much about the economy, the rising prices, crime, or open southern borders as much as males do. So they're kind of backpedaling a bit, but, you know, you women over 50, you can determine whether or not he was talking to you or not. Now, Democrats are campaigning heavily on abortion rights across the country, as we know. It's been an especially relevant topic in Ohio, where voters last year approved a constitutional amendment to protect abortion access. Now, current Senator Brown said this, argued that Moreno's comment shows that he thinks he knows better than the 57% of Ohioans who made themselves clear on this issue, a reference to the level of support the ballot measure received. As a man over the age of 50, I care deeply about a woman's right to make healthcare decisions for herself, for my daughters, for my granddaughters, and all Ohio women, regardless of their age.
Yeah.
But you have to
it's a wild thing. You can actually really be in favor of something if it helps people that you care about. If you recognize that it's a basic human dignity issue.
If Moreno's concerned that, you know, women over 50 don't have babies and can no longer give birth, of course that's an incorrect assumption. But let's just assume that's where his mind was, that they're barren, they can no longer bear children. And
they're dried out husks. They're not good for anything.
Right. I mean,
what the hell?
Vance would be, you know, ready to sign them up for daycare providers, right? That's for free, of course. But if your position is that you are no longer able to carry a child, if you can no longer, you can't have children. That's what Moreno's saying. You can't have children. It's crazy for you to be a one-issue voter on this because you can't have children. What do you care, essentially? Then I got to ask, well, Bernie Moreno, you can't have children.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you care?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of your age, sir, you cannot have children. And of course, if men could have children, number one, there wouldn't be any. And number two, abortion would be as easy as the ED meds. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You get that stuff delivered by the internet. An AARP poll of Ohio in July found that 22% of female voters over the age 50 considered abortion and reproductive rights either the most or second most important issue in their vote. The leading issues were immigration and border policy at 36% and inflation and rising prices at 31%. Now, Senate Democrats criticized Moreno's remarks during a news conference Tuesday in Washington, where they were also asked about former President Trump's dismissive comments about abortion as an election issue. Democrat Senator Patty Murray said, "I have no idea what they're talking about. This is a basic health care issue for women in this country. Women and many men are rightfully angry about this. They will go to the polls on it." And Haley, former U.N. ambassador who ran against Trump for the Republican presidential nomination, has long argued her party needs to do better with suburban female voters. In an interview last month, she said Trump needs to focus more on reaching out to a target market, including suburban women. Well, I think he just did that. I will be your protector. Ugh, I'll be your protector. And also, I would mention, Haley, you know, criticized Moreno on this. What are you, trying to lose? Are you trying to lose? I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're trying to win. And if your effort, if your brain trust came up with this great idea to attract suburban women to your side, tell them that you will protect them and they will no longer be lonely if you vote for Trump is probably not the way to do it. Folks, want to thank our guest today. Of course, Maggie Dawn. Check her out 2 to 4 p.m. Bill Carroll, President Teamsters Joint Council 39. Of course, Ben Wickler, Chair, Democratic State of Wisconsin. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.